Amen. Someday, we don't know exactly what day, which day, but we do know that someday we shall experience that rendezvous with the Lord. It should behoove each and every one of us to make sure we have made the proper preparations so that we can meet with the Lord someday, and we'll experience all of the wonderful positive things that are enumerated in that song, as well as in other meaningful songs of similar sentiments. Good to see each of you here this evening. Good to be back. I understand you are experiencing a measure of discomfort by virtue of the heat in the atmosphere, and I see some fans moving rhythmically back and forth in an effort to try to provide some relief from the heat. But nevertheless, it's good to be here and good to see you here. You deem the privilege and the obligation and opportunity to worship to be more important and more significant than the heat which discomforts you. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read by Brother William Proud just a few minutes ago. I want to read again for re-emphasis verses 34 and 35. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands, and I can picture Paul holding up his hands. I don't know that he held them up, but I believe he very likely did. Because of how he says what he says. He said, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I want to talk about hands today in this message. The Bible speaks of a number of different kinds of hands. In reality, hands say a lot about a man. My question is, what do your hands say about you? How can your hands be characterized? The Bible talks about the bloody hands of Cain, Genesis 4:11. The Bible further mentions defiled hands. In Isaiah 59 and verse number 3. Similarly, Isaiah 35 and verse 3 speaks of weak hands. In listing the six things that God hates, and he says, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Among those things listed, in Proverbs 6 and verse 17, he identifies a proud look, a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. And then, as a part of the description of the virtuous woman that is narrated in Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 13, she is described as she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. So he talks about willing hands. And furthermore, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11 says, and that you study to be quiet. Sometimes Sister Hazel Watts would indicate, I am studying to be quiet. More of us need to study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, Paul speaks of working hands. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And we're reminded again of what Paul mentions in the text upon which we are basing our lesson this evening. Verse 33, he says, as he gives his farewell address to the Ephesian elders at Miletus, he said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. It's interesting that under the Old Testament law of Moses, included in the Ten Commandments, you have these two prohibitions: thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal. Coveting paves the way to stealing. We see it illustrated all of the time. I was talking to my sister, Evelyn, last week, and she shared with me that someone broke into their house. First time it has happened since she and her husband have been married. They didn't take any VCRs. They didn't take any flat screen TVs. They were not interested in laptop computers. They did take one iPad, however. But everything else was left intact except a string of very valuable pearls, some of her most prized jewelry, some of her most expensive items. They coveted them and they stole them. Undoubtedly, they had a measure of disdain for working with their hands. I heard a story that I'm told is true of a man who robbed another man of his hard-earned money. And the victim of this assailant said to a man, why don't you get a job and work? I worked hard to earn my money. You know what he told the man? He said, I'm sorry, sir. He said, but I can't work. I can't work. And he didn't mean that he was disabled. He meant that he had chosen not to work. He didn't want to earn a living the old-fashioned way. He wants to take your stuff. But Paul said, I didn't have a covetous spirit. I didn't have a covetous attitude. Yea, ye yourselves know these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that are with me. And so he reminds the Ephesians what he had intimated to the elders at Miletus in Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more. If you used to steal, if you've been stealing, stop it. Rather, let him labor. There's dignity in labor. God honors labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Rather than taking, we should be in the habit of giving. We should be committed to helping others. The Bible also speaks of wicked hands. As a matter of fact, wicked hands are used to describe those who perpetrated the crucifixion of Jesus. Acts 2:23, Dr. Luke says, speaking of Christ, him being delivered by the determinate counsel, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, talking to his auditors who were guilty, he says, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. The two police officers that were ambushed in Ferguson quite recently, the hands that pulled the triggers were wicked hands. And I'm glad to see that people have decried, disdained, and condemned the perpetrators of that heinous crime. That's not going to solve the problem, but those guys took with wicked hands and assaulted those police officers. And some people would say, well, look what they did to that boy back in the summer. That police officer, what about his hands? Well, even if his hands were wicked and he deliberately shot down that young man, that does not absolve these assailants, these would-be assassins, in shooting down those police officers. You know, my hat's off to police officers because they put their lives on the line. My brother Douglas served as a metro police officer here in Nashville for well over 30 years. A lot of folk were praying that he would survive, and to my knowledge, he never got shot once. He had some close calls, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous to be a police officer. You couldn't pay me $500,000 a year to do it. I would flat turn it down because it's so dangerous out there. Maybe $590,000, I might consider it. No, in reality, even $1 million, I said, I'm sorry, you know. I can't wear enough bulletproof vests to make me feel safe out there. And my wife wouldn't let me even if I wanted to. But the Bible speaks of wicked hands. But I'm glad that the Bible also speaks of ministering hands. Acts 20 and verse 34, as we have already indicated. Hands serve as an index to the heart. If you take a close look at a man's hand, that provides some insight into his heart. And he can have some very well manicured hands, some hands that pampered and taken very good care of, hands that are frequently cleansed by the clear sanitizing liquids that some of you have in your purses. But that doesn't make those hands clean. That doesn't make those hands holy. James says in James chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, speaking of God, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Verse 7 of James chapter 4, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. He's not talking about cleansing your hand with any of the cleansing agents that we use in our homes or in various restroom facilities, in private homes and in public places. You know, we have the cleanser, hand cleanser. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about cleaning up the deeds that are done by defiled hands. Hands not defiled with dirt, not defiled with grease, not defiled with filth of a physical sort, but hands that are defiled spiritually by perpetrating and engaging in sinful and wicked deeds. Cleanse your hands. But you can't really cleanse your hands apart from your hearts. We have to work on the heart, because the heart is that which directs, controls, and guides the activities of the hands. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Paul's life illustrates that hands that were once employed in the commission of mischief can be consecrated to render useful and wholesome service. Hands once stained with the blood of the innocent can be made clean and undefiled. Hands formerly employed in stealing the property of others can be transformed into hands that engage in honest labor that they may give to those who have need. Hands that previously perpetrated acts of cruelty can be transformed into hands that provide comfort and compassionate care. Hands that prey on the innocent and helpless can be surrendered to the Lord and transformed into hands that can be placed together in a meaningful posture of prayer as they show concern and consideration for others from a genuine and authentic heart. Hands. What kind are yours? How can your hands be characterized. I hope that your hands are hands that are of such character that they engage in doing things that are right, things that are holy, things that are helpful, things that are pure, things that are clean. I hope those are the kinds of hands that we have, that you have. Hands. Let's reconsecrate and rededicate our hands to the service of God. When we were in the 4-H Club, we used to say, I pledge my heart to better living, my head to clearer thinking, my hands to larger service. That's good for Christians. Pledge your hands to larger service. Paul in Acts 28, in verse 3, when they shipwrecked and landed on the island, it was cold. It was raining. A fire was kindled. Paul had willing hands. Paul possessed helping hands. Paul possessed serving hands. Paul was used to using his hand to help meet the needs of others. So even in the rain and cold, Paul went out and gathered a bundle of sticks. That was not beneath his sophisticated dignity. He was willing to serve and to use his hand. Gathered a bundle of sticks, put them on the fire. He was willing to serve. He had a humble servant's heart. What about you? What about me? If you're here and you're not a child of God, why not become one this evening? If you're here and you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ, why not do it today? Remember, the hands of Jesus ministered to others.